Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Hope you're awake because we have got a fantastic show for you. I'm Gary Zimak, and I am glad to be back with you here on this somewhat chilly Thursday. Let's warm ourselves up by starting with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for wanting to be in a relationship with us. Father, we all have many problems. We give them to you now. We ask you to help us, to guide us, to always stay close to us. We ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to work inside of us so that we may proclaim your good news to a world that oftentimes walks in darkness. Father, we ask you to heal all of the sick. We ask you to be with all of the lonely. Help them to remember that you are with them. They are never alone. Help anyone dealing with financial difficulties. We ask that you bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask that you increase vocations. We ask that you put an end to the evil of abortion. We also ask that you guide our government leaders so that they may always do your will. Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm Gary Zimak. We have got a great show for you today. We're going to be joined by author Chris Stepien. He wrote a book, Dying to be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. You are going to love this message. Mm-hmm. We'll also be joined later in the hour by our friend Lisa Hendy, coming to us direct from Southern California. She wakes up very early because she is so willing and so nice. She just wants to be on this show, and we'll talk to her a little bit about how we can prepare for Lent. But before we get started, the man they call the Iceman. Why? Because he is just so cool, Mr. Dave Parker.
Thank you, Gary.
I bet you were wondering if I forgot about you, Dave.
Well, no. I love the opening prayer. It was beautiful. Thank you. No.
Dave, you're always so patient. You wait to be introduced. You're nice and quiet. You just go about, you do your thing, you don't
Thank
call
you.
Attention to yourself.
You see, Barbara? what my parents did to me, they really trained me well, but sometimes I get so enthusiastic, I talk.
Well, that's good that you talk, because this is radio, Dave. If you didn't talk, we'd all be in trouble. We were just talking before the show went on the air about how we've been on the air since October 10th of last year. Dave, how the Holy Spirit has been sending us these guests. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And how this show has really taken form.
Absolutely.
I had a vision for this show, but it wasn't going to include all of these guests. And there were so many things that weren't part of the original vision. Mm-hmm. I just think when you turn something over to the Holy Spirit, he really takes charge.
Yeah.
And
Hang on.
He does a much better job than we could. Mm-hmm. So we're mm-hmm. so blessed to have
Praise
you.
Praise God.
We're to have all these guests and to have you as a listener. That's really, really important to us. Please continue to help spreading the word. Let people know that Spirit in the Morning is on the air on Holy Spirit Radio. You can listen over the air, but you can also listen at Holy Spirit Radio. Radio.org or tuned in radio. So
yeah, I was
a number
say,
of different ways. Right?
You know, and you said spread the word. And if we can help, if listening to us helps you to get the courage and the confidence to evangelize
Good point.
In your family, you know, just in your neighborhood and your workplace, that's what we're all about. Praise God.
And it's scary sometimes to evangelize mm-hmm. because we're told in the mm-hmm. secular world, don't talk about religion. Mm-hmm. It's a personal matter. You mm-hmm. can't talk about religion and politics. I mean, we have this pounded into our heads. Yeah. And faith is between you and God, but mm-hmm. it's not supposed to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus just kept to himself, we would be much worse off. He didn't. He went mm-hmm. out, he spread the good news, and he told his apostles in the what they call the Great Commission, before he ascended into heaven, he said, go spread the good news mm-hmm. everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Share that. Absolutely.
And we're called to do that, right,
take
Dave?
The basket off the lamp of truth.
That's right. And we'll help you, you know.
Yes.
And look, to be honest, Dave and I mean, what can I say?
What's right? coming, Gary? You're
hey,
looking
Dave,
at
I'm
me.
I'm sorry. I'm pulling you into this with
no,
me.
No, hey.
We
ahead,
don't
Brian.
Have qualifications. We don't have advanced theological degrees. We're regular guys mm-hmm. who love the Lord mm-hmm. and are just trying day by day to get closer to him
Amen.
And to share the good news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we can do it, Dave, I hate to group you with me, but if we can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, it's not a bad grouping. You know? Yeah, thanks. I'm so blessed to have been you know, paired with you, Gare. It
Me
started
too,
back when we did a radiothon. And
yeah, that's right.
It was like, wow, what just happened?
You know?
Who was that masked man?
That's right. And now here we are. But that's what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna be here. We'll continue to help you to get to know Jesus. That's what we want to do. And we also want to inspire you to let you know that it is important that you share the good news and that you can do it one day at a time. Learn a little bit more about your faith each day. Get a little closer to the Lord. And before you know it, you'll be able to do this. And one very simple way, Dave, of evangelizing is to say, hey, there's this show on Holy Spirit Radio, on Spirit in the Morning, Spirit in the Morning every day. Mm-hmm. Or simply to say, did you know that there's a great radio station, Holy Spirit Radio?
Absolutely.
We have so many great programs on this station.
Yes, we do. And ultimately, Gary, just say, Lord, help me to talk about you. I just want to have a conversation. Doesn't have to be big.
Right.
You know, doesn't have to be, you know, heavy duty theology. Just talk to your neighbor. You know?
Exactly. So it's very simple, and we're here to help you do that, to help you get to know Christ, and to help you get the courage that you need to go out there and spread the good news. And when you hear Chris Stepien and the message he has today, there's a sense of urgency about that. All we're guaranteed is the present moment. We don't want to miss that, okay? I also want to point out quickly that tonight, this evening, in North Wales, Pennsylvania, St. Rose of Lima Parish, I'm going to be there live giving a talk, From Fear to Faith. If you would like to come out, I'd love to see you there. From Fear to Faith tonight, St. Rose of Lima Parish, North Wales. There's no cost for admission. I'll have all my books and my CDs available for sale. I'll be there. I'd love to meet you.
What time again?
7:30 tonight, Mr. Parker.
All right.
St.
All
Rose
right.
of Lima Parish.
Come
in
on
North
out, folks.
Wales. And I have my entire schedule up. I'll go over it one day for the whole year. It's on my website, followingthetruth.com. Dave, it's interesting. During Lent, that's my busiest time of year, and I do speak all over the country. And in fact, it's funny. Today, I could have been speaking in San Diego. I had to turn it down because I was doing North Wales tonight. So weather-wise, I mean, I regret it, but I'm really happy to be at St. Rose of Lima. Okay. I am going to be speaking at San Diego in May. But during Lent, most of my, I'm leading four parish missions. Three of them are in the area.
Wow.
So
yeah.
St. Robert Bellarmine in Warrington?
Yes,
that's going to be coming up in a few weeks. So I'll keep you posted of all these, couple in New Jersey. You can come to Fort Myers, Florida. I'm leading one there, too. But,
But you didn't turn that one down, did you?
No, I did not turn that one. That's in March.
I was going to say, if you did, I know a good psychologist now.
But I will be in the area speaking a lot. Again, you know my main topic. It's about overcoming anxiety with the help of Jesus Christ. We'll be talking more about that. So check it out. I'd love to meet you in person. Okay, one more thing. I want to thank you for the prayers for my wife, Eileen. It's getting better. She has what they believe to be some form of glaucoma, angle closure glaucoma. It's a serious form that comes on suddenly. The pressure in the eye increases drastically. Temporarily, they have the doctor has the pressure down by using eye drops. We're not sure if surgery will be needed. We go back on Friday. She is not out of the woods yet. Her pain level has decreased, though. So
that is so important.
I'm so grateful. And Eileen is grateful, and we thank you all for the prayers. Dave, you've been praying, and I'm grateful for that.
Barbara's been praying.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. And our two guests today, Chris Stepien and Lisa Handy, both contacted me and said we're praying for Eileen.
Okay. And Eileen, I just...
she is listening, by the way.
Oh, man, we love you.
Thank
you. And we just want you to feel better, and so continued prayers, okay?
Thank you for saying that, Dave. And honey, I know you're listening, so... Hang in there. We're all praying for you, and I'll be home shortly. It is a blessing that things look a little bit better than they did the other day, but that's the power of prayer. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? I think we have a gospel to read.
Now,
we are going to be talking more about this with Lisa Handy later in the hour, but I'll read it and give you a few thoughts on this. This is the beginning. You know, the thing about Jesus, and Dave, you know this, he didn't pull any punches. Every now and then, he had to say something that was not maybe the most pleasant thing, but it was important. He tells his disciples something today. He lets them know something. Let me read it, and then I'll try to put it into context. And this is going to unfold over the next few days, but here's what's happening. This is Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 33. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and to be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and to be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And at this he turned around, looking at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do."
Wow.
It's a tough message.
Very tough.
Dave, Jesus is letting his disciples know there's going to be tough times ahead. Mm-hmm. He also told them he's going to be killed and that he will rise after 3 days. Mm-hmm. So nobody can say the disciples didn't know this, but they all freaked out. They all panicked when he was crucified.
Absolutely. Not only did they freak out at that prospect, but they didn't get it either.
They didn't get it.
So, like, what do you mean you're going to die and then rise again? Right. That doesn't happen.
Right. You know? And you see Peter, the first pope, is trying to say, "Oh, no, Lord, we can't let this happen. No suffering, Lord, not for you." Mm-hmm. This is human aversion to suffering.
Absolutely.
We all have it.
Oh, yeah.
But
yet
the way to heaven is through the cross.
Yeah, through the cross.
We're all going to have it,
by
right?
By suffering from time to time, not constantly.
Exactly. And, and we'll be talking more about this. You can experience joy even in the midst of suffering. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that. You can have such peace, but the trick is to go along with the Lord's will, even if it takes you to the cross. All right? Keep that in mind. You can find this gospel linked at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the great book, Dying to Be Happy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 16th. Today we celebrate St. Gilbert of Sepringham. A life of luxury was within easy reach of today's saint. Born in 1083 to a wealthy family in Sepringham, England, but Gilbert chose another path and happily followed it for more than 100 years. Following studies abroad, Gilbert was ordained to the priesthood and served as parish priest at Sepringham. He lived simply, consumed little food, and spent a good portion of many nights in prayer. His congregation included a small number of young women who told him of their desire to live in religious life. A house was built for them adjacent to the church. Later, lay sisters and lay brothers were added to work the land. The religious order formed eventually became known as the Gilbertines, the only one of English origin founded during the Middle Ages. It came to an end when King Henry VIII suppressed all Catholic monasteries. Gilbert died in 1190 and was canonized only 13 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation. Jesus. Jesus.
There is no one like you, Jesus. Man, what a great message. That's Chris Tomlin. The name of this song is Jesus. I was just telling Dave Parker off the air, I just love the songs that we play on this show.
Yeah,
I was getting into it.
He was conducting, folks.
He was
getting into it.
Oh, that was great.
Beautiful song.
Gets you fired up. It is 7:18 right now. One of the blessings of doing a show like this is I run across many books, get many new books that come out, and every now and then a book really touches me. This book, we're about to interview a man who wrote a book, Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. This book is one of those books. It just reminded me that, you know, that one of the messages that I try to get across on the show is that we need to have a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The past is gone. He's got something for us to do today. This book is all about it. Dying to Be Happy by Chris Stepien. On the back cover, he says this: if you knew today was your last, what would be important to you? How would you spend your time? Author Chris Stepien shows how focusing on showing mercy to others and trading earthly wealth for heavenly treasure is the way to happiness both here and eternally. Dying to be happy is a wake-up call.
Wow.
And man, it
how
sure
is.
And Chris was an Emmy Award-winning producer, director, writer for ABC, working at a local Detroit television station. He has won Emmy Awards for documentaries, sports, and celebrity specials, and children's programming. And since 1996, he's provided marketing and advertising services for global clients as the creative director and owner of Stepien Creative Services Incorporated. He's also the author of 3 Days, which is another great book. We'll have to talk about that one in the future. But he's here right now to talk about his new book, Dying to Be Happy, Chris Stepien. Good morning, Chris. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Gary. I'm well.
So glad that you could join us. Chris, I love the book.
Thank you. Well, what can I say? I'm grateful for that.
Hey, you know what? You know why I like it so much?
It
made me uncomfortable. And when I, you know what, when I'm uncomfortable, I think, whoa, I need to talk about this. Because you know why, Chris? We take things for granted so many times in life. And we get wrapped up in the problems that we all face. And we sometimes lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of today oftentimes. Chris, could you, if possible, could you maybe set up where this book came from? What's the backstory on the book?
Well, thank you for that great setup yourself. The book was inspired by my wife, Ellen, and her breast cancer diagnosis in October of 2014. I actually began writing the book in her oncologist's office.
Wow.
I had brought my laptop along with me to take notes, you know, where it was considering, quite a journey to battle cancer, and thought I could take good notes. Maybe I would journal it. And the doctor said something in that first meeting that made me say, I have to share this with everyone.
Wow. And even in the midst of that, I mean, your world is turned upside down. Ellen's world is turned upside down. You're thinking, and I would credit that to the Holy Spirit, you're thinking, I've got to share this.
Well, yeah, he said something that just struck me. He said to Ellen, I can almost guarantee that you will not have nausea and vomiting from the chemo, you know, because they've advanced technology and medicines today. He said, but I can guarantee that you will lose your hair. And then it struck me. I thought, well, you know, we can't guarantee anything.
Huh.
We don't know that Ellen will die of this. She could trip on her shoelace as we walk out the parking lot.
Right.
Or we could be killed in a car crash on the way home. We are in denial about our mortality.
Mm-hmm.
We don't embrace it, most of us, on a daily basis. And I believe that embracing our mortality on a daily basis is the key to happiness in this life and in the next. Because death is the great equalizer. It has a way of putting everything in its proper perspective. And when we forget about our mortality, when we think we're going to live forever in this world, that's when we do foolish things.
Chris, that's an amazing statement.
Beautiful.
You're right, Dave Parker.
Wow.
You just said that the key to happiness is embracing our mortality.
Well, yeah, because if you can lie to yourself about the fact that you're going to die, you can lie to yourself about anything. And you can start chasing things that you think will make you happy. But if you can acknowledge the fact that you are going to die. I mean, grandparents pray for death to come and babies die in their mother's arms. I mean, we don't know how much time we have, yet we pretend that we're going to live forever in this world. Mm-hmm. But Jesus specifically said, don't worry about tomorrow.
Right.
Concentrate on today. And mind you, he told that to people in a time where they had to make everything from scratch. So they had to be concerned about where they were going to get tomorrow's meal because they had to grow it or refine it or, butcher it or prepare it. But he said, only be concerned with today because this is what you have. And so this is why the subtitle of the book is Discovering the Truth About Life, because the gospel is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm. It is that truth that will guide us. But when we get into the falsehood, when we can lie to ourselves or deceive ourselves or just put it out of mind, then we can live a life that's untruthful and then, ungrateful. I like to say that if you're truly grateful, it's very hard to be truly unhappy.
Whoa. Wow, that is amazing. I'm just taking all
this in.
That's
so profound.
It really is. Wow. It really is, and it's so, what an incredible message. As somebody who has always struggled with anxiety, and I speak a lot about overcoming anxiety because the Lord's been good to me, I've realized that a close relationship with Christ is the way for many of us, for me especially, to overcome our anxiety, because we start to realize he's in charge, we trust him, he's our friend, and we're less focused on trying to control things. But as someone who has always struggled with anxiety, I realize that I'm a bit of a control freak. I like to be in control. Do you think one of the reasons that we try to ignore our own mortality is because it forces us to confront the fact that we're not in control?
Well, without a doubt. In fact, there's a chapter in the book where I weave in the 12 steps, of AA, right, or Al-Anon or Overeaters Anonymous. They're all based on the same 12 steps. Jesus said, who would have thought that Jesus was the originator of the line, don't sweat the small stuff and it's all small stuff? He said, if even these smallest things are beyond your control, why are you worried about the rest? So certainly, yes, the reason that we ignore death is because we can't control it. It's the ultimate thing that we have no control over. There are many things we can't control. The weather, we can't control many things in our lives. But that is the thing that, if we acknowledge every day, is in a sense haunting us. It's always walking by our side, sort of like our shadow. If we acknowledge it, then we can be reminded what we're here for. And that's the reason there's an alarm clock on the cover of the
book.
It's a wake-up call. It's a reminder. But I don't think Dying to be Happy is a sad book. On the contrary, it's about people who have done remarkable things because they, in some way, overcame their fear of dying.
Right, and that's exactly the reason I have you on the show talking about the book. It's not a sad book at all. And yet, in the preface of the book, you make some astonishing statements. Let's not forget we're all dying every day. Today, you're as young as you'll ever be. This could be your last sunrise or sunset. But I don't look at that as depressing. I look at it as, like you said, that wake-up call. I have a sense of urgency.
Sure.
Because if we don't see it that way, then we start to complain. Then we start to say, well, you know what? I'll start praying more tomorrow. I'll get back to confession tomorrow. I'll do good things tomorrow. But we might not have tomorrow. And one day we're going to be held accountable for how we lived our lives today.
Yeah, well said. Well, have we ever asked ourselves this question? Why me? Why me?
Yep.
Why am I so blessed? I mean, do we ask that question? Why am I alive? Why was I able to see my children grow up?
Wow.
Why was I able to live to see our granddaughter born? Why was my wife, Ellen, able to beat cancer and hold a brand-new baby granddaughter?
I mean,
when someone else maybe never saw their kid graduate from high school. I have a friend who lost his 14-year-old son to a vicious cancer. Ooh. 6 months, he was gone.
Wow.
So this is something that we like to ignore,
right,
because we think it's the best way to cope with death, when in reality, facing it head on and saying, okay, what am I here for?
Right.
What did God put me here for? What is my purpose in the world? And my suggestion is that, while he makes it very clear in Matthew 25. I call it the sheep and the goats clause. Basically, we're here to demonstrate to God that we love him by our mercy.
Wow.
Did you feed me? Did you give me something to drink? Did you welcome the stranger? Did you come and visit me when I was in prison?
Wow, that's...
This is what we're called to. And he makes it very clear. This is how we're going to be judged.
That's amazing. Chris, I can't believe it. We are out of time. You need to come back. Will you come back to talk more about this?
I would be honored to.
You are amazing. Chris Stepien, you can get the book at dynamiccatholic.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're awesome, brother. I'll be in touch. You got to come back on the show.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you as well. Chris Stepien, we'll be back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The White House is now working to find a new Secretary of Labor candidate after President Donald Trump's original pick abruptly withdrew from consideration. Andrew Puzder bailed on the job offer, acknowledging that he had at one time employed a housekeeper who was not authorized to work in the United States. Puzder's spokesman said he did not pay the related taxes until Trump nominated him December 9th, 5 years after he fired that housekeeper. In a show of force, many immigrants across the country are staying home from school and work today to show how critical they are to the U.S. economy and way of life. Protests are planned in Philadelphia, Washington, Boston, Houston, Chicago, New York, and other U.S. cities. A Day Without Immigrants is in response to President Trump's pledge to increase the deportation of immigrants living in the country illegally and committing crimes. The Vatican has sent Cardinal Raymond Burke to the Pacific island of Guam to investigate an important case of sexual abuse. The Pacific Daily News reports that Cardinal Burke is scheduled to interview a former altar boy who says he was sexually abused by Guam Archbishop Anthony Apuron. The 71-year-old archbishop is facing a Vatican trial over multiple allegations of sexual abuse of altar boys in the 1970s. He has denied the charges and has not been criminally charged. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims has trained technicians who will take care of all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. They handle all emergencies and repairs, as well as all new system purchases. Summers and Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Most of us would like to see ourselves as people of integrity, but do you ever wonder how you'd act if put to the test? Well, Ruben Gonzalez more than made the grade. He was in the final match of a major racquetball tournament and looking for his first professional win. At match point in the final game, Gonzalez made a shot for the victory. The referee and the linesman called it good, but Gonzalez saw it differently. Declaring that his shot had hit the floor before it skipped into the wall, he shook his opponent's hand and walked off the court, calmly choosing to accept defeat instead of victory. Asked why he did it, Gonzalez simply said, "It was the only thing I could do to maintain my integrity." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
He sees you down by the waterline. He knows what you're thinking all the time. The rising of the waves. When the tide starts rolling in, he lets you know it's gonna be okay. He sees you dancing in the moonlight. His arms around you hold you tight. And if those clouds should start to break, with you. I know it's hard to believe he believes in you. God
water love.
That's a great message. God is watching over you, Phil Joel. Another great song, man. I'm just sitting here, Dave Parker and I, grooving to the music. We're glad to be with you here.
We have a show to do.
We do. Every now, this show just gets in the way all the time, Dave.
Not really.
Let me do a quick look at the weather today in the Philadelphia area. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 33 degrees. Today it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 40. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 26. Friday it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 44. At the moment in Southampton, it's 31 degrees. North Wales, it's 30 degrees. In Yardley, it's 30 degrees. And in Los Angeles, California, it's 54 degrees.
Wow.
Why do I say that?
And dark.
Yeah, because we go out to the West Coast now to visit with our friend Lisa Hendy, the founder of CatholicMom.com, somebody who's so kind. She gets up on a regular basis, not just once, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
She does this repeatedly to be with
us
on Spirit in the Morning. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Hey, Gary, I'm awesome, and I'm rocking out to that soon, too.
Wasn't that a good song?
To be with you.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, what a nice start to my day. Thank you for that gift.
Oh, yeah, thank you. You're getting a really early start to your day. And I'm grateful, Lisa. Thank you. Hey, how was India? You recently went on a trip to India, which was amazing to follow your travels because you put everything up on social media. How was it?
It was amazing, Gary. I got the highlight of the trip was meeting the Unbound elder that I sponsor, 80-year-old Lord You Mary, named for our Blessed Mother. And
oh, wow.
It's so funny because I was kind of randomly connected to her when I chose to sponsor her. And she's really like the ultimate Catholic mom of India.
Right.
To sit and learn from her was amazing. So it was great. It's a little crazy over there, but a beautiful, warm, hospitable country.
Does it make you appreciate what we have here in this country more? Because I know you've done other journeys like this. Does it make you appreciate things more?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I have to say, first and foremost, I will never again complain about traffic in the United States.
Really?
I live in sort of the traffic
country. Oh, yeah.
Capital of the world in L.A. And there's nothing like in traffic in India. It's just so, absolutely indescribable. Imagine, like, the worst traffic. Take away any semblance of traffic lanes. Mm. Add auto rickshaws and cows that actually just sort of wander the streets randomly.
And cows?
But,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a T-shirt printed up, "I survived traffic in India"?
Well, I feel like I should have. It was quite an adventure, even crossing the street where you kind of take your life in your hands.
Wow.
But the amazing thing, certainly the families that we visited that welcomed us into their homes are very, when you look at kind of economics, quite poor, don't have a lot of financial resources, but they're so hospitable and never do they cease to welcome you in and offer you, something to eat. And they're so just faithful and warm. And it really helps me to kind of put into context, the gospel message to be in companionship with those in need. And not just because, we give them something. It's often, it just feeds my spirit so much, Gary.
Wow. And oftentimes we don't expect that. We think here we're the ones reaching out. We're doing the good deeds. But in return, we get so much back when we do things like that.
Right. And I think that, even these really small sacrifices that we make, my Unbound sponsorship is, about $1 a day.
Mm.
And the changes that it will help make in the life of not only my elder, but her family as well are really remarkable. So, but the biggest thing is, just to see her faith and to witness, to go to many Catholic churches in India where the language is different, but it's such a universal church we have. It's so beautiful to worship in that way.
Wow. I'm so glad we got to share in that experience with you, Lisa. Thanks for posting everything on social media and taking us along with you, really. That's really a great service that you did. Hey, I want to talk a little bit, if we could, about, we have Lent coming up in a few weeks, and sometimes it catches us by surprise, but it's not that far off. There's a lot of emphasis during Lent on suffering. It's a more somber time. It's a penitential time. We looked at that gospel today, and that's a tough message from Jesus. And I think oftentimes it's one that we would rather not hear, because if it was up to me, I'd like to eliminate the suffering from my life. But carrying our cross
is not only something that I'm called to do, but ultimately, it's really the way I'm going to find peace, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad that you wanted to talk about this, Gary, because February is kind of that weird month that ends early. And today, you know, we're February 16th today, and Ash Wednesday is actually less than 2 weeks. And when we when we flip the March calendar, you know, March 1 is Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I really think for us that to make a fruitful Lent, this time spent right now assessing, you know, how Lent's going to make a difference in our life this year is really critical. And I think Lent, you know, we do go into sort of this purple, somber mode, but it can be at such a time of spiritual renewal and refreshment. And so, you know, what Jesus was saying to the disciples today about what was ahead of him, you know, was maybe to prepare them in the same way that you and I can be preparing right now for what we'll do in our lives during Lent.
Right, and the thing about Jesus that I like, well, actually, there's a lot of things about Jesus that I like, but he tells it like it is. He doesn't say, hey, guys, if you follow me, you're going to have a really easy life. It's just going to be a nonstop party. He tells us all, you're going to have suffering, but I'll also give you rest. You're going to have peace if you stick with me. But yet, as we saw in the gospel today, we have that natural desire to run away from suffering, don't we?
Oh, right. He absolutely reprimands Peter when Peter says, you know, he begins to, you know, Peter's the one who says, you're the Christ, you know, you're the guy. And then Jesus begins to tell them, you know, what's going to happen. And Peter basically, it says in the gospel, he takes him aside and he rebukes them. Like, don't say this, Jesus, we're going to protect you. And, you know, I think the answer that Jesus gives, get behind me, Satan, you know, is the same thing that we have to say to ourselves when, in today's society, we try to live the faith to be a light to other people. And, you know, it's kind of emotionally dangerous sometimes to do this. And the world doesn't necessarily want to hear the truth that we have to give. And so it's why we have to be so courageous, but also careful in how we express our faith, because people are watching us. And so, you know, it's important to stand up to any persecution and just to pray for God's confidence in sharing our faith truthfully.
Hey, don't you feel a little bad for Peter? I mean, can you imagine his position? He's thinking, wait a minute, I'm just defending you, Lord. What are you getting on my case for, right? I mean, but we all do that. It's like that would be that's the way I am with my family right now. My wife is going through some eye issues. And by the way, Lisa, thank you for your prayers. You're very kind to say what you did about that. But I want to take it away from her. I want to take on the pain. I don't want her to suffer. I don't like people in my life to suffer, but yet sometimes it's necessary.
Oh, yes. And it's one of the reasons that I love Peter so much. And the end of this gospel, Jesus says, you're not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. And Peter gives me hope.
Right.
Because Peter is a human being. He is that one who wants to shelter. He messes up occasionally. And he gives me hope that, you know, as much as I mess up in my life, that there's, you know, that there's this journey that Jesus calls us to, each of us. And, you know, this time we don't have to wait for Lent to be in our increased prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We can start right now, but we are human, but we're called to be with God.
Lisa, what are some of the things, we all know we're going to face trials and tribulations in life. That's no secret. What are some of the things that we can do to strengthen our faith, to prepare for these trials that are going to come our way?
You know, I think being intentional about it, Gary, is a huge thing. So not just kind of leaving to chance what's going to happen during our day, but really, you know, beginning our day with prayer, with thanksgiving and praise and worship, and then being intentional about what are the challenges that I'm going to face today and how am I going to respond to them. Okay. So if we know we have some, you know, someone we're going to interact with or an event in our life that's going to cause us perhaps spiritual consternation, really addressing it in prayer on the front end. And then I really think also that this, you know, the experience that I had in India reminds me that the things that I think I need are often not what I really need. Mm. And so what kind of small sacrifices can I make to be more generous, to consume less, and really to share more of our family's blessings with other people? But it has to be intentional.
Right, right. That's great advice. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us again. We only have about 30 seconds left, and I look forward to talking to you during Lent. Any big plans, any travels for you coming up in the next few weeks?
I'm going to be actually in the Newark area at Seton Hall in March for a retreat. So, yeah, come on over to Castle Palm. I'm speaking at a women's conference there. So anybody in the New Jersey area, I'd love to meet you. Come on out for that. And you know, just we'll be doing all kinds of stuff over at Catholic Mom. So everyone's welcome to the website, CatholicMom.com. And we'll be celebrating Lent early.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the best place to follow you, CatholicMom.com?
Absolutely. And on social media, at Lisa Hendy.
Wonderful. Lisa Hendy, thank you so much. You're a big part of this show. I really, really appreciate you coming on.
God bless. Have a great day, Gary.
God bless you as well, Lisa. Thank you very much. That was Lisa Hendy from CatholicMom.com. Boy, she always does such a good job. She's so wide awake. Dave, she's more wide awake than we are.
I know. That was so powerful. You know, I could sense the humility in her voice.
She's a great person.
She was saying, how can we do more after visiting India?
Yeah.
Which is, there's a lot of poorness over there, you know?
So. Yeah, we take that for granted. We have an abundance in this country.
By comparison.
And, you know, we'll complain about the fact that I don't have food that I like in my house, you know, or I have to eat this. But yet there are people who are eating out of the garbage cans.
Absolutely.
And that happens in India.
Maybe eating every other day.
Yeah. So very, very good to be aware of that. And we're grateful that Lisa could join us on the show. We're also grateful that you're here. When we come back from the break, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. You know the deal. Don't go anywhere. And we'll be right back.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
Love like I'm not scared. Give when it's not
And that was Fix My Eyes for King and Country. If you fix your eyes on the Lord, you're going to be in great shape today. I'm Gary Zimek, helping you to get started, get your day started, and to remind you to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord today. With that in mind, let's do the Be Not Afraid. Bible verse comes from Luke 18:1. This is a very simple message here. Then he told them a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary.
Wow.
Dave, that's the parable of the unrighteous judge, you know, the one where the woman keeps pounding on his door and eventually he gives in. I love the fact that St. Luke put this little sentence in at the beginning of it, because a lot of times you'll hear these parables and you'll wonder, well, what's the takeaway? What do I do? How do I apply that to my life? Luke's very clear. Pray always without becoming weary.
That's one of my favorite. Pray without ceasing, in a way.
It's difficult, though, because what happens is we get weary.
Yes.
And we start to think, all right, well, he hasn't answered my prayer. I guess that means no. And we stop praying. But we never know. That prayer, it could be something God wants to give us, and it's going to happen tomorrow. But what if I stop praying today?
Yeah. That's our finite, puny minds sometimes telling us, hey, I didn't see it. Move on.
Now, there are times when the Lord will say no. If something's not good for us, he will say no. But I always say, if he hasn't said no yet, and it's something you think you need, keep asking.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep asking. Look at the story of St. Augustine. His mother, St. Monica, prayed for 30-plus years for him.
Exactly.
Because he was leading a pretty raunchy life.
Yes.
And yet, look at what happened. Complete turnaround.
Yeah.
Becomes a priest. He becomes a bishop. He becomes a doctor of
the
church. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she never gave up. So don't ever stop praying. Prayer works.
Take heart, folks.
Yep.
Keep going. Keep praying.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of giving up, Dave, time for the sports.
Yes.
Well, here's the good news. It was a perfect night in Philadelphia sports.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it was. Not in a good way.
How so?
Well, let's start with the Sixers. The Sixers lost to the Celtics last night for the 10th straight time.
Oh.
Yeah. 116 to 108. The loss dropped the Sixers to 21-35, and again, that's their 10th consecutive loss to the Celtics. Now,
wait a minute, I'm starting my prayer now.
Yeah,
okay. Pray without ceasing.
So that's the Sixers. Remember, perfect night. Sixers, Flyers lost to the Flames last night. The Flyers lost 3-1 to Calgary. The Flyers are now 0-5-2 in games played in Western Canada over the last three seasons.
What does that tell you? Move the games.
So they get to do it again. Tomorrow night they're playing Edmonton. Now let's move on to college sports in the local area. Temple, guess what they did?
How many guesses do I get? First two?
Unfortunately,
first two don't count.
Temple lost last night in Greenville, North Carolina. East Carolina beat Temple 78-64. And LaSalle, they didn't do much better. LaSalle lost last night to St. Bonaventure. That was 83-65. Now, if there's a silver lining to this cloud, the Phillies did not lose.
Okay.
The Phillies didn't play, but they did not lose.
Exactly. They're still in training.
They're in training.
Yes.
If you're looking, if you're not a winter person and you're looking for that ray of hope, you know, a lot of us are looking for that warmer weather, the first full squad workout takes place tomorrow in Clearwater. Tomorrow. And the Phillies' first preseason game will be next Friday, February the 24th, against the New York Yankees.
Oh, okay.
So we're following, you know.
Those small teams up there?
Yeah, yeah. You hear a lot of that optimism coming out of spring training, but it's I would say it's realistic optimism. Like, in other words, and I'm this is my take on it, we're not going to be that horrible this year. That's the word.
Yeah.
That's what happens. They're rebuilding.
Yeah. We're hopeful. And, you know, and we are praying. And we know these athletes on all the teams and all those sports are phenomenal. And, you know, they just have to maybe gel and play as a team. Maybe they are playing as a team and getting outplayed, but they can do better.
Dave,
you know? You can stretch.
I've been watching sports for a long time, but I'm not an athlete. You're an athlete. How difficult is it to get up, you know, after you've been blown out, after you've had a loss? It's difficult, isn't it, to keep going?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I was going to say, because
they never
lost.
You wouldn't know about losing.
No. Oh, man, it's hard. It can be hard. Yeah, I mean, I was a swimmer growing up and played water polo, in high school.
But you're
and
a competitive guy.
Yeah,
you like to win.
And beyond that, into the Army and other stuff. Oh, yeah, all my life. And it's hard. It's hard. I mean, because you train so hard, you know you have skills. But one of the things my high school swim coach and my college, you know, there's always a lesson in life. There's always someone better than you. But in many instances, you know, we won more than we lost. But when you do lose, it hurts.
And
we don't like to, especially when you train so hard.
So let's put a spiritual spin on this, because we fight this spiritual, you know, we're in spiritual competition every day.
Absolutely.
It feels bad when we sin.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times we get down on ourselves, we give up.
Yeah.
But what's the key? I would say, whether it's sports, whether it's your spiritual life, don't give up. The Lord doesn't want you to give up.
Yeah,
but the devil, on the other hand, he's the guy that's going to get in your head and say, ha, there you go again. You're never going to get any better.
Yeah. In a way, I mean, when you lose, I mean, it's a wake-up call. And you say, well, how can I do better? I can can I train more? I mean, but it's a way to come back. Mm-hmm. And it propels you to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that... analogously to our spiritual life, Gary, as you so aptly said, yeah, we can try harder. And we know that Jesus loves us and he forgives us and he will help us get better.
And Lent is the perfect time of year.
He's our coach.
Right. And Lent is the perfect time of year to try to get better. We have Lent coming up, as Lisa said, in 2 weeks, which I knew it was coming up soon, but I didn't realize it was that close. But we don't want to let it get us. We don't want it to catch us off guard. As our first guest, Chris Stepien, mentioned today, it's a reality. We're not guaranteed anything. This could be your last Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it your best Lent ever. And with that in mind, we're going to be participating in the Dynamic Catholic Best Lent Ever program. You know, that great program that Matthew Kelly's putting on. That program is going to be a regular part of this show. Now, I want you to stay tuned. We'll have somebody on from Dynamic Catholic in the very near future talking about that. I believe next Friday we'll have Jack Beers from the Dynamic Catholic Institute. And you're going to hear how you will get to participate in the Best Lent Ever program, which is a fantastic program, right here on Spirit in the Morning. So stay tuned for that. Let's do our closing prayer now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, true light and source of all light, listen to our morning prayer. Turn our thoughts to what is holy, and may we ever live in the light of your love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just one more reminder before we sign off. Tonight, St. Rose of Lima, 7:30 p.m. You can see me at speaking live at the parish. We'll be giving a talk from Fear to Faith. If you're feeling a little anxious and you want to hear some advice from somebody who knows what it's like to be anxious, I would love for you to be able to show up tonight. Again, I'll have my books available for sale. I'll be there. I'd love to meet you. St. Rose of Lima in North Wales, PA, tonight at 7:30 p.m. Tomorrow on Spirit in the Morning, we will be joined by our buddy Tony Rossi from the Christophers.
Awesome.
Always fun.
Love it when he's here.
He's going to be here, as he is each month. And Dan,
so inspiring.
And Dan Burke will be here
Dan
to
Burke.
Take us
All
into
right.
the deep, as he does each week. We'll learn about something.
Bring your scuba gear.
That's right. We'll learn about something called discovery prayer. Very simple concept. Sounds a little complicated, but it's not. I'm going to be looking forward to that. Next week, Sister Ann Shields will be on the show on Monday, so don't miss that. And then Tuesday, we're going to be live from Archbishop Ryan High School. Lots of great things coming up. And you know what I always tell you, wherever you go today, whatever happens to you, God's right with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.